Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That is This Will Be Ours, the new single from Andy Taylor. And Andy Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hello, you.
Hello, you. We'll talk about why it's hello, you in just a moment. But first of all, that is an incredibly optimistic and really life-affirming song from someone who's been through the mill. So tell me what inspired it.
That song actually was... It's about, when did I record it? About 7 years ago, when I first started writing songs for myself again. And it's based on skiffle, you know, to ka-chacked, 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 or as I like to say, the ballroom blitz. And I did it with a lot of my musician friends up in Newcastle, because they all kind of understand that feel. And oddly enough, it was like the last one that made the album, because it was a bit too happy and I wasn't feeling that great. And then the beginning of this year, when I had this breakthrough and this treatment looked like it was going to work for me, you know, it's put the smile back on my face a little bit. And my engineer, Mark, long-suffering kid, he's worked with me for years on various things. And Mark's worked with quite a few. Really, you know, he's a lot younger than me. And we were putting the album together and finishing mixing it. And I said, you know, this track sounds really good. And he's like, you stick it on the album, man, what you talk? And Geordie, you know, middle conversation, just, it's really good, stick it on the album, man. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I did. I ended up being, the irony is, then you might have heard this story before, the last thing that made the record, and it's the first thing the record company said, we want to go with this at radio. And I'm like, phew, I'm glad I put that on.
Well, let's talk about why it might be a particularly upbeat track on a less upbeat album, why the album might have been less upbeat. Asymptomatic sounds pretty good, but it sounds particularly good when the alternative is a terminal prostate cancer diagnosis, which you got, was it 4 or 5 years ago? Talk to me.
At the end of 2018, I was diagnosed, October 2018, so just under 5 years ago, I was diagnosed stage 4 metastatic, and it's terminal still, but the science is catching up with the disease. And not unlike AIDS, where there's a slight stigma to it because it's a male disease thing that happens, you know, downstairs. Mm-hmm. Men don't really want to talk about it, but the treatment's catching up with it. So where I was at 5 years ago, I couldn't be here now, but the treatments are catching up, and I caught such a lucky break.
Tell me first of all how you felt when you had the diagnosis. Were you in the same way as an awful lot of men, guilty of ignoring symptoms, or perhaps even being worried about the test? We were talking about that just the other day, because there may be a new test that's not invasive, as they say.
Well, you mistake symptoms. And the thing I've tried to kind of encourage people, I told a lot of my mates, I'm like, have you had a PSA test or anything? What's that? Like, pretty much everyone's like, what's that? I'm like, well, yeah, that's what, if I had had one, I might not be in there. Oh, didn't know about that. So there's a real ignorance amongst men about what the tests are. There's actually three tests you can get: PSA, genomic, or an MRI scan. And so when you miss all the bone pain, the getting up at night, going to the loo, the abbreviate to what's called ED, right? It may not be Viagra. It could be your prostate. I also had the additional part of my disease, which I have a gene mutation. And this isn't so uncommon now. I think there's, 15, 16% of men have a gene mutation. So it's the same as, it's related to breast cancer, BRCA1, BRCA2. I think I've got, mine's called the ATM gene. That brings the early onset of it on. So there's a lot of stuff we know about it. But the main thing is guys do tend to not kind of talk about it. So, like when you have a few pints down the pub, you end up talking about all sorts of nonsense. So it's kind of buddy up, it's like, have you, it's the ignorance of men and not saying, have you been up a few times in the night? Yeah, me too. It might not just be that we're getting old. It might be something else. But we got bone pain, arthritis. First thing I thought, I'm jogging away in Ibiza trying to keep fit. And I'm like, my knees are knackered. It wasn't arthritis. It was bone pain from the spread of the disease.
My goodness.
So that's what you're talking about the ignorance. And it's just because of lack of knowledge, really, I think.
And Andy, you had a sort of, I don't know, an added disadvantage in a way, which was that because you were well known, I think you chose to keep it secret for quite some time because you didn't want your children to have to deal with the sort of constant questions about it and so on, which must have made more difficult for you.
Well, in that regard, and I think a lot of people wherever they're at do tend to, particularly men, because there's a very serious personal aspect to it, which men would find a little bit embarrassing. It shuts down your manhood. The drugs do, the disease does. So I think one of the things about overloading your family is, first of all, when you come to terms with it, it takes quite a while because it's such a shock. And then it's just like, well, my kids get enough of it. Oh, I saw your dad on telly. How's your dad? So the last thing I wanted to have them to go through was everywhere they went, they're like, oh, I heard about your dad. Oh, it's too much. So that did inhibit me from going public, but I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know the way out. I didn't know. It was because I met a guy called Sir Chris Evans, not Ginger Chris. No, he's not a doctor. He needs one. I went, he's got, my God, bless him. Yeah. I think he's okay. But it went until I had the knowledge and met Sir Chris, I didn't really understand the options. It's a bit of a minefield to dig through treatments, and so on and so forth. And
the therapy that you've stumbled on, dare I say, with Sir Christopher Evans is really groundbreaking, sort of state of the art stuff, isn't it? But it doesn't have a very promising name. I think it's called nuclear therapy, which might put a few people off.
You don't go green, turn into the Incredible Hulk, and you don't glow. It is a nuclear medicine. So it's targeted radiation, essentially. And you take it as a medicine. It takes 20 minutes to be administered intravenously. And it only sees cancer cells. It doesn't destroy healthy cells. So the targeted effect at stage four, it kills cancer. So it's not curative, but I'm now asymptomatic. I had to phone a friend up, phone a friend. I'm like a cancer friend. And I asked her, I said, Angie, she said, you asymptomatic? After one round of treatment, I got the clinical note. I said, that's what it says here. I said, what exactly is that? She said, it means you've got no symptoms. I'm like, I said, no, I haven't. She said, there's no disease progression. It's died. It's going back. I'm like, wow. And over the past 2 months, I get more compliments about my skin than a man of my age should.
But that's an emotional roller coaster as well, isn't it? I mean, to confront your own mortality as imminent as you had to, and then to sort of come back from that to a shortened, perhaps, but in your case, elongated life. Has that played out for you?
Well, I'm still in that little bit of sort of heavenly space of did I really get this lucky? You know, as my old mate Robert Palmer said, you know, some guys do I've had a lot of luck in my life, but nothing could compare to being on the other side of where I was. And to paraphrase it, I had a blacklist, right, of things I had to do, you know, legal things, da da da. And all I really have now is a whitelist. There's a few grey areas left, but you know, it's literally you go from pessimism to optimism. The psychology of it is mental. And once you know you've got hope, it's like. And then I said, well, if I feel okay, can I work? After the first round of treatment, they said, if you're okay, your bloods are okay, blah, 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 gently, you can. I didn't want to be a sit around patient because it's kind of, it's a little bit compelling to want to pass this on. There's lots of things we could do as men to help ourselves, but these treatments are expensive, but no more expensive, I think, than say open heart surgery. So why is it not available? Mm. It's a lifesaver. It's not just an extender. I mean, I can do now what I couldn't do 4 years ago.
And it's also led to some other significant, dare I say, positive changes in your life. One of them being a reconciliation with your old bandmates. Now, I know that, you know, none of these stories are ever as you know, acrimonious as they tend to be made out in the media and so on. But they're definitely, you know, you hadn't played with Duran Duran for, 30 years, and you missed being inducted into the Hall of Fame last year because of your illness. But it's brought you all back together. I mean, that must feel like a really great reward as well. How did it happen?
I mean, the last time we played together was 2006. And then that we had a musical disagreement, let's just say. So I'm never really, you know, the acrimony bit and all of it's just, you know, it's all so overblown, and we never really had any kind of, you know, you go through the motions of, okay, someone leaves, you know, everyone gets a bit peed off, and then, you know, you move on. But there was no real malice, but you know, things could get a lot worse. And just because we're called Taylor doesn't mean to say we have to rip each other, because we ain't brothers. We're friends, and we're bound by something that is, you know, is like a one in a million thing that happens. We're bound by something that we achieved when we were young, and I don't think any of us want to, you know, kick, you know, sand in the face of that. Mm. But then, when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing happened, I was like, and then they put a picture of the five of us up, and I'm like, that's the perception of what the band is. And I got, you know, nominated. Then they caught me. They were in Ibiza. I wasn't. I was in hospital. They were playing in Ibiza, and that was the day we found out we were getting inducted. So there was a plan to get together that day, but I was in hospital in the UK. No one knew. So I'm in hospital, there in Ibiza, and I find out I'm getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm thinking, I hope I'm going to make it.
let's talk about that. Let's talk about Duran Duran, and let's talk about your brilliant new solo album, and indeed why we've known each other since I think I was about 16 and you were 17. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So stay there, Andy. We'll just play this trail. You're listening to Times Radio. This is Mariella Frost.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
They tried to break us. Looks like they'll try again. Wild boys never lose it. Wild boys.
Welcome back. Still with us this afternoon is Andy Taylor, Duran Duran's one-time guitarist. He's now got a solo album of his own out. Andy, you were Wild Boys. We met when I was caretaking Eric Faulkner from the Bay City Rollers flat, and you guys all came to stay and sleep on the sofas when you were trying to get your record deal, didn't you?
That's right. I remember I was Janine lived there at the time, God bless
her. That's right, Janine Andrews, yeah.
And I was going out with Janine. And I remember we turned up and I think we were demoing in a studio anyway. She said, come and stay at Eric's. And I remember you answered the door. You weren't wearing much, as I recall.
What do you mean?
And, Eric was a lovely fella, and he told me a lot on that. But I remember Janine showed me all the roller stuff, all the roller gear that he had there. You know, because yeah,
it was all hanging, wasn't it? In the
and when I
went his sauna school, was meant to be.
When I went to school, you know, that was it. It was Slade, all the girls like Bay City Rollers, all the guys like Slade. You know, and it was a big part of my upbringing. And that so, and I think we were demoing in Air Studios, and then it was great because I blagged a nice place to stay.
So. Yeah, and then the rest of the band turned up, and it was I was the one charged with keeping you all well behaved in Eric's flat, which I have to say was quite hard work at the time, but nevertheless, a dirty job. Someone had to do it for years to come. It was indeed. And that was, I was going to say, I mean, that was the sort of very, very beginning of Duran Duran. You got your deal and everything, and the next thing I think I saw you on Prop the Props with Planet Earth. You actually left the band really at the absolute height of Duran Duran's career. I mean, you were one of the most successful bands in the world at the time. What was it that prompted you to leave? I mean, I listen to your album now and I think, yeah, he was always a bit more of a rocker. But what was it that you didn't enjoy about that experience?
I think we'd been doing it for 6 years, and obviously it takes its toll. I always try to paraphrase these things because they can go really down a rabbit hole. We'd done everything we could. We couldn't do any more. We'd achieved so much, but we were young men, 23, 24 years old. That's all we were. We weren't fully developed in the sense, you know, that we'd grow up together in this crazy thing. That's when the people around you the elders, the people who, you know, and I always found it strange that that didn't happen, that when we couldn't hold ourselves together, there was no one there ready to catch our fall. Roger quit earlier than me. And John and Roger were like a thing. The first day I met them as a rhythm section in April 1980, and the two of them played together. And I'm like, you know, old days we used to talk about rhythm sections. They were a rhythm section, and Roger had gone before me, and there was no safety net then. I think now things are a little bit different. Not by a long shot are things perfect, but then, and then the arrogance of the record label, oh, we can just continue on with the three of them. I was honored that Nile Rodgers replaced me, but it didn't keep going in the way it did. So if everyone had to just took a deep breath, let us have some rest and recuperate from 5 years of Kane in it, career-wise, and not
every
sleep.
Other way.
But that didn't happen. Someone just wanted it. Someone kept taking the brake off and the train kept going. It's like, whoa, you're going to lose a few passengers. It was a runaway train.
And do you admire now when you look at, I don't know, someone like Lewis Capaldi, you know, just saying, that's it, I've got to take time off for my mental and physical health, that in a way that's actually the key to a longer career, yeah, rather than the end of a career.
I admire Lewis Capaldi enormously because he's just a genuine person. He's funny. My wife thought he was a comedian. I said, no, he's actually a really cool singer-songwriter. I could have threw things at the TV. They shouldn't have let him do Glastonbury. That's not entertainment, you know. And that, he owned up to it, but he wasn't well enough to do it. I think him speaking out about it, in the same way Sam Fender does, is very, very healthy. But you've also got to look after these guys. And Glastonbury would be there next year. The audience were wonderful, but didn't anyone go, hey, let's just wait a year, Lewis? It's, you know, and that's the thing I'm talking about is, let's just wait 6 months and then start on your next album. But the rabid appetite and the pace things move at now, it's very difficult for people to catch a breath, I think. But he's got a great voice. And, in terms of his future, the fact that, and he's developed things throughout the course of his career, it amplifies and triggers aspects of your mental health you may not have been aware of. And I think he's dealt with it admirably, and people really need to take care of him because he is quite a special kid.
Now, we've mentioned, and I don't want to make too big of it because you've got your solo album and your brilliant single out, but we mentioned the sort of reconciliation, if you will, precipitated partly by your illness, partly by the Hall of Fame and so on, and the fact that you're now playing, or you've played on Duran Duran's new album, which seemed very unlikely a few years ago. You mentioned Glastonbury. Could you see a sort of Glastonbury moment? You know that Duranis are very, very serious fans, and the idea of, it'd be catnip, wouldn't it? The idea of all of you back together again.
I think, what's happened to me over the past year, from getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Fame and stuck on that guitarist list, that's the way I look at it. It starts with Chuck Berry. You're on that list.
Yeah.
I don't care what list I'm not on, but I'm on that list. This kind of third wave of Duran, it's incredible. You know, everyone's in their 60s. I always kind of remind people that I'm not part of it. You know, they've formed themselves into a shape and an organization, and the four of them work really well together. And it's like, I'm like, want me come barging through the saloon doors and goes, hey, I'm back. Well, first of all, you've got to be asked. But when I look at, and the fans have carried this year, amazing for the band and for me. I kind of let go of it a little bit. That aspect of it, when I've re-engaged with it, we really do have an obligation, I think, the five of us, to maybe go out and play those first two albums.
And oh, come on. We're all waiting. Yes.
That kind of thing. And, I don't know if I could ever commit to touring again. You know, I do want to be very careful with myself, but there's a part of me, and I wouldn't shut the door, but you know, it's something everyone would have to want to do. But if they got Glastonbury and they didn't include me, I'd effigize them and curse them and do witchcraft. Well, I don't actually, but I'd find someone who did it.
Well, you heard that here first. Andy Taylor, it's an absolute delight to talk to you. I'm so glad that you are asymptomatic. And it's a great album that I'm sure you must be very, very proud of, particularly having recorded it against pretty hefty odds. Thank you very much.
It's two albums.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, two albums then.
Yeah, I know.
Man's a Wolf to Man, twice. Andy Taylor, thank you. And the album, Man's a Wolf to Man, two albums, are out on the 8th of September.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.